Last week, I had the opportunity, our family did, of spending some time in nature. And for those who get to do that, one of the things that I enjoy, and I'm sure many of you do, is just to get away. To spend some time in quiet. You know, there's nothing like walking through the forest or the woods and just to listen. So quiet. And maybe you'll hear a bird chirp or a squirrel run across the ground or something. But it's so peaceful. We all need those moments in life, don't we? Just a time to step back and to breathe a little deep breath and to listen to the quiet. Right before we were coming home, we went to a restaurant to eat and good restaurant, food was good. But one of the things I noticed is it was loud. I don't know if you've ever been in a loud restaurant, but it gets hard to concentrate sometimes. It can get so loud. I know if you go to a place like Buffalo Wild Wings, it can get really loud in there. And it's almost hard or difficult to talk. It's like being at maybe a football game or something, and the crowd's really loud, and you're trying to talk to the person next to you, and you can't even hear one another. Life can get that way. Life can get that way. And in Mark chapter 4, it got that way for the apostles. Notice, if you will, the text of Mark 4, beginning of verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We were to take a moment and put ourselves on that little boat, little fishing vessel, and we're in the middle of the sea, and that little vessel is being pushed about one side to the other. You almost feel like you're in a volleyball match or tennis match. And I'm sure it was loud and it was chaotic on that deck as men were running back and forth trying to save their lives. And can you imagine in the middle of that, there's your leader, your rabbi, your teacher, sleeping. I don't know if we have any light sleepers in here. Even for those who are maybe a little heavier, I can't imagine being able to sleep during that storm. Reminded of Noah, but Jonah that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Down in that boat asleep. Well, Jesus is asleep. And his disciples are in a panic. They're going to die. And he stands up and he simply tells the winds to stop. He says to the sea, "Peace, be still." We ever get like that in life? Well, we are in a panic. We are in a state of chaos. My life is falling apart. And I have no control. I do not know what to do. Or maybe we just get caught up in the chaos of general life. And we're running back and forth. And we're losing ourselves. And maybe we're losing our faith. Jesus says, how is it that you, my apostles, are losing your faith? That you have no faith. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, the psalmist wrote, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This morning we spent some time focusing on citizenship and being a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. And we talked about our state of our country, of our culture, and how easy it is for us to get caught up in everything that's going on. And for us, even us as Christians, losing hope. Having our faith waver, being tossed about, being akin to the apostles on that little boat. But God reminds us, be still and know that I'm God. Tonight, for just a few moments, I want to examine what we should know. Be still and know. Know that I am God. Not me, obviously. But Jehovah, Yahweh, He is God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul writes to a group of Christians who were unsettled. Notice what he says in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Our children are growing. And they're growing in their understanding of the world and how the world works. And we as parents, as grandparents, as family and friends, we're trying to teach our children how the world works and how they are to survive in it, how they're to flourish in the world. And so they're learning from us. But at times our children don't really understand, do they? And so they get tossed about between two different things and they don't really know what the right thing is. And so they have to reach out to somebody for help. Well, Paul says to the Corinthians, the adults supposedly, don't be children. Don't act like children. Don't allow yourself to get tossed around, to get unsettled in your faith. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. James reminds us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Our doubt robs us. It robs us of our faith. It robs us of our prayers. A doubting man has no need to pray to God because God doesn't listen to those prayers. God wants to hear the prayers of the faithful, of those who do not doubt, of those who truly believe and are settled on knowing who God is. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that it was because of Jesus of the knowledge of Jesus, that he would bow his knees to the Father, that he would pray. Notice what he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love. What love is he talking about? Where is that foundation? He's talking about the love of Jesus. He's talking about the gospel message of Jesus, which is the message of love. Don't allow yourself to be tossed to and fro by man's trickery, by man's logic. Know who God is and ground your faith in his word. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, is your faith grounded? Or do you doubt God? Do you doubt his message? Paul says that we need to be rooted and grounded so that we're not moved away. That boat on the sea that's being tossed about, it has no foundation. It has no grounding outside of an anchor. And they rely on that anchor to hold them there. What's the anchor of your soul? Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4, the Hebrews writer wrote, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. How shall we escape if we neglect? One of the worst things that we can see or be a party to is neglect. Neglect of children or... What happens if we are neglectful in our job? What happens if we're neglectful in so many areas of our lives? We lose, right? If we neglect our children, they lose. Neglect's a terrible thing. Neglect in our faith is the worst of all things. But have we become neglectful? Are we as diligent as we should be? The only way to know God is through his word. There's no inspirational knowledge that's just going to hit you one day and you're going to know God. That's not how it happens. But we know God when we know his word, when we believe his word and act upon it in faith. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I will be exalted among the nations, that God will be exalted among the nations. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Is that not what the world is trying to do? We said this morning, the world is trying to write God out of it. The world wants to eliminate God from all knowledge and all understanding. Yet you notice verse 4 of this passage. He who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. The Lord shall laugh at all the follies of man and man's attempt to get rid of him. The Lord will be exalted among the nations. Notice, if you will, 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 feels alone. Notice the text beginning in verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Imagine, Elijah was a lonely man. A man who probably felt very powerless in that world. I mean, he's hiding in a cave. Think about how low we may get at times. Can you imagine being in his situation? And at least in his mind, he's the only man left standing. There's no one else in his mind. Notice verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The voice of the Lord. The world may try to convince us that you don't need God. There is no God. But God's still there. God doesn't leave us nor forsake us. And as Elijah will find out, there are many who have not forsaken the Lord, many who wait to serve the Lord. Maybe sometimes we feel alone. We feel like God has forsaken us. And what he reminds Elijah of is the same thing he's reminding us. I'm not gone. I'm still here. Romans chapter 1 and verses 20 through 25. The text tells us, "For since the creation of the world, since the beginning, before the beginning, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Who are the wise among us? Who are the wise in the world? Is it those who sit in universities who tell us the way the world works? Is it those who speak out on TV and radio and tell us all the ways that they understand, all the things they know? Or is it God in heaven? We have to be careful. We do not exchange the wisdom of God for the foolishness of man. Because in Acts chapter 17, we are given a stern warning. 17 verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. There will be a day when the world will pay its penance, when the world and us with it will stand before the judgment seat of God Almighty, whether righteous or unrighteous, and we will answer for the things we have done. We need to be still and know that I am God, that God is God. We need to know that he will be exalted among the nations. And we also need to know that he will be exalted on the earth. There are many in the earth, in this world, who have cast him aside. But understand, there will be a day in which God chooses, not us, not any man, but God will choose a day when he will come, and he will be exalted on this earth, and every knee shall bow. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James wrote, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. How arrogant of man to think that he's in control. We are not in control. We're just a vapor on the spectrum of time. We're just an infinitesimal amount of time in comparison to God Almighty, who stands above and beyond time. Let not us become arrogant in thinking we are in control. There may be some of us who are control freaks. We like to take control. We like to know that we're in control. The reality is, we're not. We've never been in control. It's always been God. And we need to know that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, after Paul has written to the Philippians about the mind of Christ. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you. And he talks about how that Jesus came to this earth and that he lived as one of us and that he suffered that death on the cross. He says in verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not just talking about the church. It's not just the church that's going to bow its knees and confess Jesus as Lord. All men, everywhere, the most arrogant, boastful among us who's ever lived, will one day bow before Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And they will with the tongue confess him before all mankind. Not to the salvation of their souls, but to the glory and exaltation of Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we need not doubt God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he speaks of the end of time. I want you to notice, beginning of verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord, He is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. And can we pray, thank you, God, for your long-suffering? But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Peter brings it back to us, doesn't he? That's the only person that we can change or make a difference in directly. We hope we make a difference in other people's lives, but their salvation is up to them. They've got to make that choice. Well, you've got to make a choice, and so do I. And how I act, how I behave, how I live my life, the words I use, the way I treat others, the way I serve others. When we think about God, when we take time and we take a moment in our day to be still, to put away the cell phone, the computers, the books, turn off the TV, we take a moment to just be still. When's the last time you were just still? When was the last time you just closed your eyes, not going to sleep, but you closed your eyes and you thought about God and you thought about your relationship with God? Is it time you take a moment to be still, to put all the chaos of life aside and concentrate on the God of heaven? Don't we owe Him that? Don't we owe Him those moments? Do you know God? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul, in writing about the second coming of Jesus, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know God? Do you really know God? I'm not saying you profess that there is a God. There's a difference in professing the reality or the existence of something. It's totally different to truly know what that is. Do you know God? Or do you need to get to know God today? Do you need to get to renew your relationship with God? Don't put it off any longer. If you're not a Christian, you don't know God. If you've never been immersed into Jesus Christ, you do not know God. And that is a dangerous situation to be in. We don't talk about it enough, and I don't really preach about it enough, and somehow I'm going to try to change. We need to focus on the second coming of Jesus. We get so lax about it. We are so comfortable in our lives. God will choose when He comes back. That could be today, and it could be tomorrow, and it could be in the next life, your children's life. Maybe we'll be dead and gone. I don't know. Thing is, you don't know. You don't know if it'll be today or 100 years from today. But this could be it. This could be the last day, the last opportunity you have to get right with God. As Christians, we don't need to get too comfortable. Remember, we talked about this morning, we're sojourners. We're not citizens of the USA. We're not citizens of the world. We're citizens of the heavenly kingdom. But sometimes I'm afraid we've become too much a citizen of the world and not a sojourner or pilgrim. Don't take up residence in this world. Make your home in heaven. One thing is going to happen, one of two things. Either Jesus is going to come back, or you're going to die. I'm going to die one day, and that's it. That's all I get. That's all you get. Are you right with God today? Are you living the kind of life you need to live? Do you know God? I don't want to be in one of those two groups when Jesus returns. I don't want to not know God. I want to know God, and I want to obey His gospel. Are you in one of those two groups? Have you lost your knowledge of God? Have you quit obeying? Today is a great day to change that. If you have any need, please come as together we stand and sing.